All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of Mandated Let's Talk About It podcast. I am your host, Selwyn Robbins. And as always, I am happy, ecstatic, overjoyed to see you guys and speak with you guys and ladies just as well, because you got your ears in here just the same. So I really appreciate it. And, you know, it's how do I want to say, you know, we're ending the year. Today is December 19th. 2022, and we're going to end it on a podcast, of course, about men, but we're going to end it in a way, of course, as we started last year, or it's going to be earlier this year, of encouraging men. And we're going to do that with our guest. As you already see, his name is Bett Harvey, the founder, creator, the movement of Men's Encounter North. Bett, let him know. Say hi, man. What you got?
Hey, how y'all doing out there? Appreciate it so much.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Just trying to get ready for Christmas. And I think we're through shopping. As my wife told me a while ago that as of the end of today, she is now hibernating and she'll be inside the house until after the holidays.
Oh, man. Well, you know what?
It's cold this weekend. So she wants to, no coldness for her.
Yeah. And man, this weather here in Texas has dropped dramatically. You know, we were like probably mid 50s or so in the mornings last week. Now we're what? High teens or something like that.
We're supposed to get down to 9 degrees on Thursday night.
Wow. Well, they say you get everything in Texas, you know, right in time for Christmas.
Right.
It is all good, man. It is all good. So, you know, before we really get into MEN, I want to speak about you and Miss Harvey just as well. You know, for your listeners, give them just an insight of who you are and what God, you seeing God do and change in your life to bring you to where you are today?
Well, you know, it's a long story, and I can't go through all of it and go through the whole thing, but I was saved about 7 or 8 years ago. Me and my wife were on the brink of divorce, and I just had a lot of things come against us, and you know, and I had to find a way to fix our marriage. And at the time, mm-hmm. you know, I wasn't a Christian, so I wasn't doing it the Christian way. I was trying to do it the worldly way. Mm-hmm. And so, but over a certain things that happened in our lives, things that she did, things that I did, we ended up coming to God and putting Christ mm-hmm. in everything we do. And it restored our marriage. And that was, I think we're at 28 years of marriage at the time. Now we're at 34.
Wow.
And so it restored us. And, you know, it's funny, once you put God in the center of everything, things just kind of take off.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, and once, you know, we went through our trials and mm-hmm. Struggling like we did, you know, and once we put Christ in the middle and he restored our marriage, it was God from our heart that, you know, let's help other men. Mm-hmm. You know, let's do something for other men that are struggling, not just with marriage, but with anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of the short of it, of Men's Encounter, how it kind of got birthed. And just one day we're actually driving home from Houston. And mm-hmm. it's been 5 years ago, about 5.5 years ago, when I looked over at her and I said, I think God's telling me that we need to do something for men, Men's Encounter mm-hmm. North. And she kind of looked over at me and said, what? I said, yeah, we're supposed to do a ministry. And she said, you know how? Like, we have no clue. And I said, we'll figure it out. And 6 months later, we had our first men's encounter.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, okay. Yeah, I know there's a lot of meat in that. But let's talk about MEN. So in that conversation, coming back from Houston, you mentioned MEN, but how is it that MEN actually became the name for it?
Well, because, you know, it's funny because we were living in Houston at the time. We had moved there, been there a couple, 3 years. And I started going to church. I followed her to church at Lakewood.
Okay.
And so they had a men's encounter there, a lot different than what we do, but they had a men's encounter. And it kind of helped me out and helped change me. And, so when we got ready to do it, you know, it was MEN for men, of course. And then it was M for men, E for encounter, and N. We're like, what is N? What can we use N for? because we want it to represent men, of course.
Yeah.
And we're thinking, okay, where would Inn come from? And then I don't know if me or her, one of us said North. We're north of Houston, so we'll call it Men's Encounter North. And then what's the best part of it was at about encounter number four, I was talked to a gentleman named John Hill. He's actually in the Good Contractor list, and mm-hmm. he's on the radio a lot. And he's asked me the same question you're asking me. And he said, so basically you're saying Men's Encounter North, find your true north
mm-hmm.
in Christ. Find your true north.
Yep.
And that's when it kind of dinged and went, okay, there it is. So, yeah, that's how it kind of came out, the call letters for it.
And, you know, it's awesome that it's one thing to do the ministry or to have the ministry spoken, but another to be engaged with your wife in the same direction. I know that has been powerful and still continues to be powerful. In that, from your wife's point of view, if you may know, what was her take on it when y'all first began?
Oh, she was fired up because she saw the change in me. Hmm. And you know, the first one we did 5 years ago, about 5 years and a month ago, when we did our first one, you know, we planned 6 months, and you know, she was highly involved in the planning with me, and you know, the location and the food and all the things that women do really good. And you know, my job was to put together a team and speakers. And as with this process, in 6 months, that day it started, you know, we got at the venue that morning and with some other guys and started putting the tables together and get everything put together, and we're both excited. And it was really surreal because I never forget, at 4 o'clock, me and her looked out the venue door and looked down the road and saw the very first car come down the road.
And
that was a point where I just lost it and was like, it's happening. It's fixing to happen. And when that was over with and we saw the lives get changed, because we didn't know what to expect at first. We didn't know, you know, be honest with you, we thought we were going to do one and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Down north, the first one and done.
Yeah.
And so when it was over with, you know, the next few weeks we're going to church. And she kept hearing women come up to her and saying, hey, I don't know what happened to my husband, but he's different. He's changed. And she's come back telling me, well, so-and-so in my women's group is saying this. And then they're asking her, when are you going to do a women's encounter? She's like, well, I'm not going to do one. That's God has it from my heart. My heart is doing the men's ministry with my husband and watching these men's change. And after we did a few encounters, then the church of about 3,000 members, the pastor takes me in his office and says, I don't know what's going on. He said, I've never seen anything like it. I've never experienced anything like it. And I frankly don't know what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, well, what are you talking about? He goes, all the cliques in the church is gone. He said, and men are loving on each other, hugging each other, telling they love each other. What are y'all doing? And I just pointed up and said, it's not me, it's God. We're just being obedient. And so her thing was the enjoyment of seeing the men's lives get changed and watching the difference and hearing the stories afterwards. I mean, we've had men, you know, come in that were on the brink of suicide, men that, you know, they didn't know when they got home that Saturday if they're going to be divorced or not. You know, we've had men that were straight from their sons and daughters and just all these different things, but we saw all these miracles and God just restoring marriages, restoring families, and that's why we're so passionate about it. So if you want me to, I'll tell you kind of a long short of it.
Yes.
So as of right now, we have one coming up February 3rd and 4th, as you're well aware of. That's going to be our number 18. That's going to be Men's Encounter number 18. And like I said, I didn't think we'd do just one, but now we're at number 18, and my wife just got through doing her very first Women's Encounter. And her very first one had 194 women there, and it was amazing. And she's having her next one in March. And it's just, you know, God just keeps blowing our minds. We just 2 weekends ago did a thing called Battleground, where we're taking the encounter to halfway houses and taking it to the men there. Because a lot of times they can't come to us, so we're going to them. Yeah. And now we've been invited by three different pastors. We'll be going September 17th of 2023 to Uganda. And they're saying over 1,000 men will be there to be at the Men's Encounter North Conference in Uganda. So it's just crazy what God has done. And when you're on the same page together and when you put God in the center, he just, it's like my wife said, he slingshots you, you know?
Come on.
Yeah.
So, you know, I met you, let me see, this is 2022. It was probably 2018, 2019 at that event in Dallas. It was a CMN event. It was you and another gentleman, but I remember specifically talking to you and the energy that you had, the smile, the you were just ready to go. You were telling me about MEN. I didn't see you again until this year at the Christian Men's Network event. And for those that are listening and watching, Christian Men's Network, oh, a global network of men, as they say, rescuing men. And it's not necessarily about being in trouble, but it's bringing men, encourage them, and bringing them to another level in their life. And everybody that's attached to them will definitely, and this is just my viewpoint, everybody attached to them will increase just as well. And what Brett was talking about, how the word was just spreading to the women, and that's what we want in anything that we're engaging. So when I was speaking to him, I was speaking for a little bit at the conference, and then there was somebody, and I'm not going to mention the person's name, but one of the leaders at CMN had came up to Bet, and he said that, matter of fact, the same thing I believe the pastor had told you is like, I don't know what you're doing, but you're on the map. And I heard that and I said, wow, okay, I need to get him on and speak about this, because that is great. Because right before that, you were speaking about the movement and also the trip upcoming to Uganda. And that's a powerful thing, because I truly believe that any word that God gives us is for us, but not just for us, but for others just as well. So now you're engaging on a whole new level, but also a direction in place.
And you know, it's I want to put this out there for any men that are thinking about maybe coming, or mm-hmm. or the men that are saying, you know, I've been to men's conferences before, I've been to a men's camp out, you haven't been to Men's Encounter North. The only thing I can say is you have never experienced anything like what we do, mm-hmm. and what God has birthed into us, and it's powerful. It's a life changing event. It's 20 hours long. And I always, you know, always throw this out here. My team, I think they kind of cringe when I say this, but I always tell them it's money back guarantee.
I hear what you're saying.
If you're not satisfied on Saturday, you come up to me and tell me, hey, it wasn't worth my money, I'll give your $85 back to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so far out of having 2,000 or 3,000 men come through, we've never given back anybody's money yet. but you know, it's we don't sugarcoat things. We don't mm-hmm. play games. We don't play horseshoes. We don't play cornhole. We get serious, and we have mm-hmm. speakers that come in, pastors that come in, and they're touching on subjects that the men need to hear about.
Yeah.
And they're being told the truth about these things, not sugarcoating anything. I've had men tell me this is not the ministry is more of a deliverance, more of a freedom ministry than mm-hmm. anything. And then, yeah, like you said about Uganda, you know, being invited to Uganda you asked me 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I thought we just could do one encounter.
Yeah.
But let's go to Uganda.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're talking 1,000, 2,000 men are going to be there. And mm-hmm. so I'm so excited about it. We can't wait. I have no clue what to expect mm-hmm. Because Men's Encounter North, if you go to one, if you go to one in February and then you go another one in May over here in Roy City, it's a Bean Creek Ranch, they're going to be nearly identical. It's cookie mm-hmm. cutter.
Yeah.
And let the Holy Spirit flow.
Mm-hmm.
But other than different speakers, it's the same, you know, we do the same thing because it's a pattern that works.
Mm-hmm.
And now that pattern somehow or another is going to be taken to over 1,000 men. And can't quite figure out how to do that yet, but we will, because God will tell us how to do it once we get closer. Mm-hmm.
You know, and oh my God, it's interesting that you mentioned the word pattern, because the pattern in my mind is the template setting forth everything that's supposed to come forward mm-hmm. after that. And the interesting thing is the pattern is set on the gospel, it's set on the word and the foundation, and it goes where it needs to. So in this, what, if you're able to share, what kind of testimonies have you heard from the men specific to their breakthrough? Because as you said, you know, we go to conferences enough, but you said this one is one that they've never been to before. So what are they seeing? What are they getting out?
So I can't give things away because it would run it for men that want to come. Mm-hmm. But we do something on Friday that exposes what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
It will expose it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of men are like, oh, wow, that sounds scary. No. If God is going to work on something that mm-hmm. you're dealing with, you got to expose it to the light.
Yeah.
As long as it stays in darkness, it's never mm-hmm. going to get fixed. Yep. So you have to expose it. And so that gets exposed. And man, we had this one guy, never forget, his name was David. And his son was killed 2 weeks prior to the encounter in a head-on car wreck.
Jesus.
And he came up and talked to everybody and told everybody that I've tried to kill myself two times. I failed both times mm-hmm. and I don't want to live anymore. This mm-hmm. is my last hope. And Saturday, he told everybody that he was on fire for God. And he could not wait to get home and dust his Bible off and get in church. So it stories like that. We had a guy mm-hmm. come in that he told everybody, he said, I'm not a believer. He said, mm-hmm. I don't believe in God. He said, but I'm coming here because my friend's here. My friend's been part of this for a long time. And I used to be his bodyguard mm-hmm. when I was in school, and owed it to him to come and just be with him this weekend. This guy came that Friday, told everybody this story. Saturday, another gentleman walked on stage and said, God's telling me there's one more. And I said, what do you mean one more? There's one more man in here that needs to accept Christ. And that man stood up, took his hat off, threw it down, and said, it's me. So not only did he accept Christ, he got baptized the same day.
I saw.
And baptized five other men himself. So those are kind of things we see. You know, I could go on and on and on, and I won't tell you a couple more because I think they're so powerful. We have facilitators at all the tables, and our facilitators, part of their job is to call the participants and the wives up prior to the encounter. He was talking to the wife about what was going to have, what her husband would go through, and she said, well, I don't care if he goes or not, because when he gets back, there'll be divorce papers on the table. I'm filing divorce the weekend he's gone to the encounter. And the facilitator told her, said, please don't. Please give him this weekend. If he comes back the same, then do what you got to do. But just give him this weekend. Well, that was 3.5 years ago. They're still married today. So you know, just things like that. Just, you know,
it just, I hear the heaviness in there in the sense of what men mm-hmm. have to battle with every day. And, you know, especially suicide being one of the biggest mm-hmm. Unfortunate outlets for men, because we have so much that we're dealing with that we see. And as I say, more that we're dealing with that we don't see, just the same. But to use the North in the ministry is that we always have to know where we're going mm-hmm. in our trajectory, in our lives, what we're doing for our family, how we're leading. And let me know your thought on this, because if a man doesn't have his trajectory, if he doesn't have a plan, everything attached to him is going to flail. It's going to go its own direction. It's not going to be stable, balanced. It's not going to be led the way it needs to. So it is so vital and key for the man to know who he is, the good and bad, mm-hmm. and expose both sides of it. And, you know, I say that just as well, because, you know, my wife and I, She's a therapist. She's a licensed therapist, or practicing counselor, that is, right now. She's working on her license. But we have these conversations. And I've been to therapy years ago, and she's been telling me, she's like, babe, I think you need to go to therapy. It's not that my life is bad, but you can tell where things need help or direction or exposure. So, hey, I'm signing up with the counselor. I'm meeting them this week just to get the initial meeting and going from there. But I say all that to say is that we have to take this chance on ourselves through Jesus Christ, that there's more out there that we can do in his love. As long as we are willing, Isaiah 1 and 18, I love this, says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So tell me in this, as what kind of seed, I know you just spoke about the testimonials, what kind of seeds are you looking to plant going forward, going into 2023 here?
I want to touch on what you just said a second. A lot of men, just like I was brought up by a worldly father. I was not taught how to be a Christ-like man. I was not taught mm-hmm. how to be a Christ-like father, a Christ-like husband. I was taught how to have a job, how to put a roof on my wife and my kids' head. I was taught how to make sure electricity was paid, the groceries were put in the house. That's what I was taught. Mm-hmm. I didn't know what a Christ-like man was because I wasn't taught that. And my wife longed for that. That was one of the main issues. She was missing that in her life, but she didn't know what she's missing either, but she mm-hmm. knew it was something. And of course I didn't know what it was, but once we get in the word and it's not only just being the word, it's fellowshipping with other men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's that bond that you get with these other men and we start feeding off each other and balancing things off each other and learning what a Christ-like man is. You know, we really push maximize manhood at the encounters.
Yep.
And, you know, mm-hmm. it's, you know, you've heard all this also, you know, the God guard and govern your family,
mm-hmm.
you know, and be the spiritual leader of your house. And so I think that's because if you don't have that guidance, like you said a while ago, then you're going to get off
mm-hmm.
and you're going to go down the wrong way because you don't have that north. And mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Finding your true north, you know, through Christ, because you know, we're led by, like I said, by what we were taught. And mm-hmm. a lot of us, you know, I had a good dad. My dad was a good guy, but he wasn't a godly dad. But then I think about the ones who grew up without a dad. How what they went through. So that's kind of my two cents on what you said. But so the seed planted for the future. It's so funny because I can't outguess what God's going to do. You know, he's always doing, we say it's crazy, but it's really not because it's God. It's not crazy, but it's, to me, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
you know, we're going to have, 4 more men's encounter here in the area. We're hoping to go back to Wichita Falls, back to Lindale, back to, Lufkin. We're going to start doing more of these battlegrounds where we're going actually to the halfway houses. We're supposed to be going to Texarkana mm-hmm. And then to one in Dallas to bring the counters to them. And along the way, you know, and what we're doing is as we're doing these battlegrounds, what's so neat about it is that they're taking the men from these battlegrounds and they're plugging them into maximized manhood. So mm-hmm. when we leave, they're just not left alone. They have an agenda, you know, to do. And so, you know, I think the seeds that are being planted are growing this in other places to reach more men. And then we're not only do we have, we're doing what we're doing, we're also raising up leaders.
Yeah.
Because men, you know, that come to the encounter, they're now able to step back and be mm-hmm. on the support team and help serve the men. So now you participate. Now it's time to be a servant and be the hands and feet of Jesus and serve the men at the next encounter. And then they come up into, you know, maybe the first time they come, maybe they're helping serve the coffee, the tea, maybe they're cleaning the tables off, maybe they're sweeping the floors. But the next time they're in the prayer team or they're in the security team, next time they're a facilitator, you know, or they're the head over support team, or they're on the, the food team, whatever it may be, that we grow up as leaders so that they can lead. But my end goal, I believe what God is wanting me to do is mm-hmm. is I created a Men's Encounter North handbook.
Okay.
And so what I want to do when I go to Uganda and we have our first encounter, hand that handbook to Pastor Jonathan in Uganda and say, here's your guideline how to do this. Now run with it and let them start doing their own encounters there. That's kind of what I envision, and not just in Uganda, in other places. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll still be under the Men's Encounter North ministry, but now they have the guideline and the outline on how to do it for that pattern you talked about.
So in this, we need to close out with this, or we have to close out with this here. As we spoke about the seed and what you want to hand to the pastor over there just as well, let's, if you don't mind, close with a word that you may have, one short minute word that you want to give to any man to encourage them on where they are right now, especially the end of the year, because it's so stressful going into a new year. What's that one word you can give them?
Fight. Strong man in tough times.
Oh, that's the book.
That's the book, ain't
that's
it?
The book.
We got to keep fighting, because, you know, when we start doing ministry like we're doing, man, you get a big target on your back.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm at the point to where that the attacks don't come to me anymore. They'll go to other members of the family. Mm-hmm. Before every encounter, we have men are being attacked right and left. And so all I can say is fight, because but that's a good thing. Because if you're getting attacked, that means he's worried about us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not doing anything for the kingdom, he ain't gonna mess with you.
He ain't.
That's my word to the end of the year and even past the new year is fight.
So in that, gentlemen, we're going to close out with this. The scripture on their website is mensencounternorth.com. It's Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron. So let a man sharpen the countenance of his friend. I think that's the King James Version. That's how I remembered it. But nonetheless, guys, fight is a strong word for us. That actually is a great word for men, because we're taught to fight in just about everything from a little boy to the age that we are today. So I will say this to close out. Wherever you are right now, know that the battle is not yours, and it's not going to be yours alone. You have a God that will fight for you, will stand in the gap. He has given you his Holy Spirit. He's given you his love, his courage, his power, his mercy, and his grace for this time that we're in. So wherever you are, do not let your heart be troubled by the things that are going on, but find a center who is Jesus Christ that is in your life. For instance, since we're speaking about direction, I've been reading about Jesus in the boat before they went to Gadarenes. A lot of people want to look at it, and we all have looked at it as the disciples were in the boat, of course, but they were in trouble. But another way to look at it is that it was the boat in trouble, not the disciples. What was really being affected? Be in a place where you have a center that you can cross, but you're not going to be crossing alone. You're going to be going somewhere, wherever that may be, to work, to home, just out gathering and whatnot, but always make sure you have somebody that you can reach out to in this time and day if you feel you don't have a fight. Man, you are a lion. I want to leave it like that. You are a lion, so fight.
Battleground, you know, take back what the enemy took from you.
Fight. Awesome. All right, guys, that was our podcast with Bette Harvey from Men's Encounter North. They have their yearly event, first one of the year, coming up February 3rd and 4th, and we'll send that information out just as well. You could go on their website, find out more about them, find out their links as far as connecting, and more importantly, donating so he can continue planting seeds of what Christ gave him so he could give to others just as well. Love you guys. I'm glad you're able to join us. We'll get back to you.
Thank you.